Let me bid welcome again. I appreciate your attendance very, very much. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along with the lesson. Appreciate that very, very much. Titled it, "The Challenge of Christ." God gave an illustration through the prophet Isaiah. He said, "You as the heavens are higher than the earth." That's a pretty good distance, isn't it? My ways are not your ways, just like that. There's a vast difference from the way we think and the way God thinks. Or what we say and what God says. So that's our lesson this morning. It's the challenge of Christ. By way of introduction, in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, "For hereunto were you called," or challenged, if you will, "because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." Ah, the challenge of Christ. His way. Someone already looked at the notes and said to me, "Brian, life by itself is a challenge. Now you're adding the challenge of Christ." That's right. But it's not a burden to bear. I know someone else said, "I'm still doing yesterday's work, so by tomorrow I should be ready for today." The challenge of life, and now the challenge, this long outline in 20 minutes. Your challenge is to believe that I can do it. We'll see. But the challenge of Christ means that he's the standard. Paul gave an illustration that in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be followers of me." But he said, "But as I follow Christ, I'm not the standard. I don't always measure up, say things rightly or do things correctly. But Jesus, no guile found in his mouth, no sin in his life. So he's the standard." So we're looking at the challenge that he presents for us in striving to live a Christian life. It's a challenge that will determine our destiny. It's a costly challenge, but it's going to cost more if you miss the challenge. The challenge of Christ. And you know, if something's challenging, it's going to demand our best effort. We're going to have to put some gusto into it. There's going to be some self-sacrifice or self-denial. It's the challenge of Christ, not the cakewalk with Christ. So let's look at these. Number one, the challenge that God and Jesus gives us is to live as Christ lived. First thing I think about is that he lived for others. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Let's think about others. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life for ransom for many." So Jesus, how did you live? "I lived for others. I came to minister to others. I came to seek and to save others." Along with that, he came to do the Father's will. In John chapter 6, verse 38, he said, "I came down from heaven." Well, Jesus, why did you do that? "Not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane before the crucifixion, he prays, "Not my will, but thine be done." Jesus, how did you live? "I live for others. Not my own will, but the will of him that sent me." Number two, along that same line, the challenge is to grow as Jesus grew. The Bible gives a phrase in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that he increased in wisdom, stature, in favor with God and man. Well, there's a challenge for us. 2 Peter 3, verse 18 said that we are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you grow something, you have to nurture it. Take care of it. See that it receives what it needs. If I'm going to grow in grace and grow in knowledge, I need to nurture those efforts. So we have our Bible classes. We have our worship assembly. We have times that we meet to encourage one another, to lift up those who are fallen. We have opportunities to encourage those who are weak. These are opportunities to nurture our life in Christ and to grow as He grew. Number three is to think as Christ thought. That's a challenge, isn't it? It was in our text that was read to us this morning. Isaiah 55, verse 8. God said through the prophet Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." I'm going to have to change my way of thinking. To his people, "Your ways," God through God, "your ways are not my ways," says the Lord. I have to change not only my way of thinking, but my way. And then he gave that illustration that the heavens are higher than the earth. And then he repeats it. "My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." How high are the heavens? There's a great difference from the way God thinks and the way we think. And our challenge is to think as God thinks. Wow. That's important because Solomon said in Proverbs 23, verse 7, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." The challenge is to think as God thinks. Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." A challenge to think as Christ thought. I was raised in Muskegon, Michigan, and at the house where my parents and us lived, the kitchen table was right against a window like this that looked over into the yard. And my mom sat there, and Rod sat there, my brother Randall, and then me and my dad. Every once in a while, my dad, you heard this illustration, my dad would look out the window. And he'd say, "Brian, I think the grass needs mowing." I might look up a little bit, look out the window, and I could see the same grass, but I said, "Well, Dad, I see the grass, but I don't see that it needs mowing." Only said that once. But just my dad, he didn't say, "Brian, I want you to mow the grass." His thought was, "I'm thinking the grass needs mowing." He wanted me to think the way he thought and act accordingly without saying, "This is what I want you to do." In God's word, he gives us directives. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And my response to God is not to say, I can't look up and say, "God, I don't see it that way." No. Or, "God, I don't think that way." The challenge that you and I have is to think the way God thinks and to live our life in the way that he outlines through his word. See? That's the challenge. It's going to take discipline, isn't it? Discipleship. The challenge is to change our way of thinking, to be in harmony with God's thinking. Number four is to obey as Christ obeyed. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him." Oh, there's a challenge. I ask you, do you want eternal salvation? Boy, the hands would go up. Well, all right, here's the challenge. He became the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him. Why do you call me Lord? We do.
Well, Lord.
But Jesus said, but do not the things I say. The challenge is to obey as Christ obeyed. He said, you call me Lord, but you don't act accordingly. I want you to obey as I obeyed. I came to do not my own will, but the will of the Father. Challenge. He gives the warning in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He says, but not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Oh, I have to do it God's way. I have to think like God thinks. Yeah. I want my thoughts to be his thoughts. That's the challenge. And we can meet that challenge. That's possible. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, he preached about a resurrected Jesus. And here are these devout Jews from every nation. And in Acts 2, verses 23, through your wicked hands you've crucified and slain the Son of God. Verse 36, he says, this same Jesus, he repeats it, that whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. In the next verse, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Oh. And if you kind of get a visual, they throw up their hands and they're convicted. They cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Is there any response required from us? And Peter responded to their question, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and all those that are far off, that's us. As many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words, he testified. He exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. And then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Peter challenged him, I want you to think as Christ thought. I want you to commit yourself to a way that God has ordained. So when they cried out, what shall we do? And they heard, repent and be baptized, they didn't say, oh no, I don't think that's a good idea. Oh no. Those who gladly received his word were baptized to the church that day in salvation. So I want to obey as Christ obeyed the Father, as these obey. Number 5 is to love as Christ loved. In Romans 5, verse 8, God commends his own love toward us. All right, there's the love. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah. In John 13, verse 12, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. There's the challenge. There's the challenge. Love one another. Saw a bumper sticker, you know, one day. It said, honk if you love Jesus. That's not what God said. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. God didn't look down from heaven and just honk, honk. Love you. No, he gave. I need to do more than just say, I love you, God. Beat my horn. Honk, honk. If you love me, you keep my commandments. That's the challenge. To think as he thinks. To go his way, not our own. That's the challenge. People want to be loved, not honked at. You ever get honked at? Light turns green and you don't move right. See, love is visible and not just audible. Visible. Love one another. It's Christ's love. Gave himself up. Sacrificial. Number six is to forgive as Christ forgave. Colossians 3, verse 13, even as Christ forgave you. I've heard people say, you know, my sins are too many. I've committed sins that are too horrible. My sins I've committed for too long a time. I don't think God can forgive me. But oh yes, Christ forgave you. Right? Now the next phrase is, so also do ye. You heard me say, we think forgiveness is a good idea until we have to do it ourselves. Oh yeah, you forgive as Christ forgave. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Challenge. Forgiveness is not just a good idea. It's the challenge of Christ to be forgiven. Number seven is to endure as Christ endured. In Hebrews 12, beginning of verse 1, he said, let's run, referring to us, you know, as a congregation. Let's run with patience the race that is set before us. Patience, endurance. Looking to Jesus. Oh, what do I want to see? What's the Hebrew writer saying? What do you want me to see when I look to Jesus? Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And in verse 3 it says, consider him that endured. That's what we want. Endurance. I want to be steadfast. That's the challenge. I want to hang in there with my Christianity, with my Christian faith, with the obligations that are given me through God's Word. The challenge. The challenge. Don't give up. Don't bail out. Don't quit. Don't slack. The challenge. Remember when we challenge, when something is challenged, we have to put some effort into it? Yeah. If we're going to grow, we have to nourish it. Then, well, there goes Brian again, talking about maybe attendance or Bible study or ministry. Yeah, that's right. For success. Number eight is to... Oh, there's the challenge, isn't it? Overcome as Christ overcame. John 16, verse 13, Jesus said it himself, in the world you have tribulation. That's right, we're going to have some hardship, some difficulty. There may be some struggles along the way. Might be some obstacles we have to climb over or crawl under or go around. That's right. In the world you have tribulation. Well, that's a given. We have hardships. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome. And then the challenge, the admonition in Revelation 3, verse 21. To him, now he's talking about us, the congregation, the church. To him that overcomes, to him that's met the challenge, to him that hasn't allowed the struggles of life to take him away from Christianity or to be discouraged on the road, to him that overcomes, to him that has stayed in there, who has been steadfast and sure, yeah, to him that overcomes, I'll grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame. Yeah. Jesus says, when you overcome, you can come over. You overcome, you can come over. Number 9, along that same line, finish work as Christ finished his. Remember one of the seven words from the cross in John 19, verse 30, Jesus said, it's finished. What was finished, Jesus? You just said, it's finished. Yeah. Oh, the work of salvation. Accomplished my task. Remember, I came to do your will. That's right. It's finished. Paul said at the end of his life, or nearing the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, he says, I'm now ready to be offered. time of my departure's at hand. It's getting late in life. My departure's at hand. I've fought a good fight. Yeah. I've hung in there. I've kept the faith. Yeah. I've finished my course. I finished. That's what we want as we struggle through life. I want to finish the race. I want to whom I belong and on whose side I stand. That's the challenge. All of these things, there's more that you could add to that list. I'm just giving you 10. Live as Christ lived. Grow as Christ grew. Think as Christ thought. Obey as Christ obeyed. Love as Christ loved. Forgive as he forgave. Endure as he endured. Overcome as he finish the work. Finish. When I preach funerals, there's a occasion of joy or shame when I know the one who has died has finished their faith. They were steadfast to the end. It refreshes my soul. To see that, I encourage you, and the challenge this morning is the challenge of Christ. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. If you're here this morning and not a member of the New Testament church, and I've been baptized for remission of sins, we have the blessing of receiving the gift that we can accomplish that this morning. Give every time we assemble, at the close of each lesson, a procedure, if you will. Number one, you need to hear the good news. You've heard that. You know John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his son. That's a good news message. Jesus told his disciples right before he left, the last words of Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He wanted his message preached and taught. And you know Christianity is a taught religion. You're not born with it. You have to be taught. So once you're taught, that's all even Paul said, number two, and believe in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How can you believe in someone you have to hear? And then believe that message. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to do that. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. So I want to hear that good news, biblical message, and believe it. Then number three, Jesus said it himself. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, except ye repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. I want to hear that good news message and take it to heart. I want to believe it, and I want to have it turn my life around. Number four, I want to confess my faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8 when Philip preached unto him a Jesus message. He interrupts the sermon. He says, here's water, anything hindering me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he made a confession of his belief, his faith. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Stop the chariot. Wow. He heard. He believed. He's willing to do what the book says. And he made his confession of faith. Stop the chariot. They both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Come up out of the water. Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. So that's the invitation we extend. If you haven't done that already, obeyed that good news gospel message, if you'd like to do that this morning, you're very welcome. We can accomplish that in just a matter of moments.